Is President Trump becoming a Democrat? Again, he was registered as a Democrat from 2001 to 2009, according to New York voting records, and now he's made his second deal with the Democrats in as many weeks.
So let's bring in our politics roundtable. Chad Pergram covers Congress for Fox News. He joins us from Capitol Hill. Hi, Chad.
Thanks for having me.
And Alan Gomez covers immigration for USA Today. He's in Miami, and it sounds like the power is on where you are, Alan. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Chad, let me start with you. What exactly did President Trump and Senators Schumer, the New York Democrat, and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi agree to this week
on
immigration?
That is the big question here. And depending on who you talk to, that is the consternation, because you have people on the right saying, well, they agreed to some permanent fix to allow the Dream Act folks, 800,000 of them, to be in the United States and do this legislatively sometime in the next few months. Others on the hard right believe this is a cave by the president, said that he has gone back on campaign promises here. One of the most remarkable things I think we had all week was after this bipartisan meeting at the White House with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi at dinner. They had Chinese food on Wednesday night. Was the president sent out some tweets saying there wasn't an agreement, trying to walk this back ever so slightly so he wasn't crossways with his political base. And then you had Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer putting out a joint statement basically doing air cover for his tweets. That's remarkable. If you consider his Twitter feed, that you have the Democratic leaders saying, no, 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 what he said in his Twitter feed is consistent with what we agreed to.
Well, it is pretty remarkable that it ended up, apparently, after last night, being a deal in which there would be an ability for the Dreamers, the so-called Dreamers, to stay in the United States with reinforced security on the border, but with no wall. Look, as you know, Donald Trump's base is livid. Here's conservative commentator and Trump booster Ann Coulter on WBAL yesterday on whether she feels betrayed.
No, I think the country's been betrayed. I think 63 million voters have been betrayed. And I have a little difficulty seeing how Republicans, any Republican, ever get them back.
Well, and so staying with you, Chad, we asked, is he a Democrat? That's what many Republicans are asking. He had been one in the past. Is this has riven the Republican Party since Reagan gave amnesty to people in undocumented in the country. What's the result here?
Well, what we have here is a pragmatism issue for the president. He worked exclusively with Republicans on health care. They couldn't get very far, though they did manage to get something barely through the House by the skin of their teeth. They couldn't move something in the Senate. He is thinking about his long-term legacy, and I'm going to throw some numbers at you here. 217 to 213, that was the vote in the House on health care. You switch two votes, it ties, it's a tie, it fails. 90 Republicans voted against him in the House on the combined bill a couple of weeks ago to fund the hurricane relief efforts, to keep the government open and raise the debt ceiling. 17 in the Senate. He can't govern with only Republicans. And people on Capitol Hill and at the White House are indicating that this is the post-Priebus pivot. Reince Priebus was the former Republican National Committee chair. He was the chief of staff at the White House here. And just working with Republicans in this legislative environment doesn't work. He needs Democrats to get things done. Republicans won't vote for certain things on Capitol Hill.
Well, Alan Gomez, let me bring you in on this. You have been covering this issue so closely for so long. What did you make of this deal? And do you think that this sort of pushes the wall off the table, at least for now, because if he can't get it done now, is he going to be able to do it in a year?
Well, if this deal comes through and they do it without a wall, I mean, he basically loses all his leverage with the Democrats to be able to get something, some kind of money, those big dollars that he wants for expanding the border wall. But I'm not being facetious when I say let's wait to see what President Trump says next week on this, because having covered this issue for so long, it's watching him several years ago before he was running for office. He met with Dreamers. He said he was won over by them. They were fantastic. He runs for office. He runs for the White House, and suddenly he's saying he's going to end the program. He's going to deport them. He wins the election. He starts talking about, oh, I'm going to treat them with great heart. This is going to be they're wonderful people. They're great. And then just a couple of weeks ago, he does the only concrete action on it, which is to end DACA and start phasing it out. And then we're now in this sort of back and forth over these last few days. So, you know, I say all that to make the point that, yes, he's kind of been leaning more towards this deal, and it looks like he's working with the Dems on this one right now. But again, he could change very quickly.
Right.
He's getting annihilated right now online. If you go on Breitbart right now, there's a whole running chain of people showing them burning their Make America Great Again hats. Mm. And so, you know, give it a weekend where he gets a lot of bad coverage in that area from those hardcore supporters, and we might have another ball game next week.
Well, and can I jump back in here for a second?
Yep.
There's one little point that that is very key here. There aren't the votes on Capitol Hill to erect a wall. That's something that has to be passed. Right. There was this bill that threw about $1.6 billion toward border security, which they had to put on another bill back in July, and they had to tack it onto that piece of legislation and say that that was money, a down payment for the wall, because there aren't the votes for a wall. So maybe this, again, is the pragmatism of President Trump.
That's Chad Pergram of Fox News. But Alan Gomez of USA Today, I want to bring you in again, because Maggie Haberman of the New York Times said something interesting this morning. She said advisors told her that President Trump really didn't understand that DACA is a finite program. You have to be brought as a child to the U.S. before 2007. So the population that qualifies is running out. Now, of course, if you listen to some right-wing radio, you don't hear that. You hear that it's an ongoing stream of people. But if this is true, is that encouraging to you that this is a president who, when informed, can change his mind? Or is it alarming if he didn't know?
It's slightly terrifying that the day that he announced that he was ending the program, later that day said that he might reconsider it in 6 months. You know, this is it's so important. Not, you know, let's put aside the politics for a second and understand that this affects nearly 800,000 people who are in this program. So there's that. And you would think that he would have a full understanding of what the program did and what the effects of his actions would be before he announced that he was going to roll out the program. And so, yes, it's encouraging that he's here and all this sort of stuff. But we're sort of seeing, I mean, just a couple hours ago on Twitter, you know, in all caps, he says chain migration cannot be allowed to be part of any legislation on immigration.
Right.
That's clearly in response to what we heard the last couple of days from conservative media arguing that these DACA recipients are going to be able, if they get citizenship, to bring in all their families.
Right, and he said no citizenship, just allowed to stay in the U.S., but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then what? I'm sorry if I'm losing a little bit of track, but I've been in this hurricane and cell phone coverage has been a little bit rough.
Fair enough.
So I'm getting all the information on this in bursts whenever I got cell phone coverage. But, you know, I see him, they ask him about, is this amnesty? He says, no, the word is DACA. And then later on when he lands, he said, no, this is not amnesty. So it's changing so quickly, and the details of this are so critically important that until we start seeing some meat on these bones, it's really hard to understand what this deal could possibly be and what the effect of it would be.
Well, while the president was in the air, he made some news. Let's listen here to what he said. He's kind of going back to blaming both sides in the Charlottesville protests. Here he is talking about the left-wing group Antifa.
You know, you have some pretty bad dudes on the other side also. A lot of people are saying, in fact, a lot of people have actually written, gee, Trump might have a point.
This was a day after having a tete-a-tete with Tim Scott, the only African-American Republican in the Senate. Chad, why does he want to have this conversation again? Because it didn't really end well for him last time.
Well, that demonstrates, you know, a lack of message discipline. This is something that John Kelly, the White House chief of staff, was supposed to bring to this president. But again, you know, he kind of says what he says. And you know, Tim Scott had wanted this meeting, went down to the White House and met with him. You know, there was a resolution that the president just signed last night, which was approved by the House and Senate, which condemned the KKK and white supremacists and neo-Nazis in Charlottesville. And he signed that. So it's interesting to hear him say that at one point. And then, you know, the Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill send him this resolution, something that they designed in such a way to compel him to have to sign it. And he signed it last night. So, again, this is where we're getting these cross messages out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Well, Alan Gomez, I want to make sure we ask you, because there you are having, you know, ridden out the storm there in Florida, as you mentioned. What about the president's storm response? He visited yesterday. He's just surrounded by people everywhere he goes, wearing their red hats and their Trump T-shirts. They seem very appreciative of seeing him. But we're learning more about the 8 nursing home deaths and that nursing home that became an oven. The president praised Florida Governor Rick Scott, saying he'd make a great senator. But in Florida, the nursing home industry lobbied against rules that would require generators for air conditioners in those nursing homes. They won. There was no generator for the air conditioners there. That doesn't look good for the Florida governor.
Absolutely not. I mean, in this nursing home story is just it's right when we thought we had gotten past the worst of the storm. We went over there and found out about this, and it was just so horrible and so tragic, and it's going to be one of those defining issues of this hurricane, and just kind of adding to that, when we talk, we see Trump, Pence came down, the FEMA administrator Brock Long has been down. They've been running around and doing a lot of things. And talking quite a bit. But I can tell you from running around Southwest Florida down the Florida Keys yesterday that folks are kind of saying, hey, that's all great, but where's my water? Where's my ice? And it's the FEMA administration was talking about that they're still focused on life safety and life sustaining issues.
Right.
The Department of Defense at one point said there's maybe 10,000 people in the Florida Keys that might need evacuation. That wasn't the case.
Right.
And so folks are saying, hey, give us our water, give us our ice, stop with the PR, and let's get rolling.
That's Alan Gomez, who covers immigration for USA Today and the hurricane in the last week. Chad Pergram covers Congress for Fox News. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.